had it written down. Brother Joe caught me after the service this morning and said, "Hey, brother, there's something that goes along really good with that theme, and it's in the Song of Solomon." And I said, "I know. I had it written down, and just, you know, had a brain cramp. I had a brain cramp, and I forgot to mention it." But you know, this morning we talked about, what did we talk about this morning? We talked about the three different generations. Almost had me there for a second, and how things go downward. And if you study through the Song of Solomon, and you start looking through and you study how her relationship grows with her lover, whatever you want to call him, typified by Christ. If you want to study how that thing goes, there's three things that she says. The first one, and keep your place in Genesis 16, but in Song of Solomon chapter 2, turn there with me. Song of Solomon chapter 2. This is all free. This isn't part of the message tonight. I'll just give this to you for free. It's okay. I still got 30 minutes left, so I can give you whatever. Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse number 16. Whenever she starts out early on in the relationship with Solomon, she says in Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 16, "My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies." Now she starts out, "My beloved is mine." First word is my, me, I, mine. She says, "My beloved is mine." That's my possession, okay? Look in Song of Solomon chapter 6. Some of you guys have probably heard this before. I'm sure you have. It's nothing new. Song of Solomon chapter 6. I've got so many sticky notes and things in my Bible that it covers up everything that I'm looking for. Song of Solomon chapter 6. There it is. Song of Solomon chapter 6, verse number 3. The second step. "I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies." So she started out by saying, "My beloved is mine. It's mine. All me." Then she grew to, "I am my beloved's. I belong to him." But she also tags on there, "My beloved is mine still." See? Jesus and me. Jesus and me got our own thing going. You know, Jesus and me got it all worked out. How many of you remember that song, by the way? That's an old song. That was an old Gaither worship type song. Okay, then look in chapter 7, verse 10. When she gets to the end of her relationship, you'll see that she's grown. Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 10 says, "I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me." Now it's all him. And it's kind of like reverse order there. She starts out in the third chair, winds up in the first chair. She started out saying, "It's all mine, it's all mine, it's all mine." And then she moves and says, "Well, it's all his, but it's all mine too." And then she winds up saying, "It's all his, it's all his." And that's how we should go. And also, I mentioned this morning, I was giving you some different stats on the different casualties of the wars. And mentioned about, you know, the 18-year-olds going off to war and stuff like that. My dad was 20 years old when he was shipped off to Vietnam. He was 20 years old, been out of high school for 2 years. I think he graduated high school. Yeah, he did. And been out of high school for 2 years, didn't really know what he was going to do. He was getting ready to go to spring training with the White Sox, Chicago White Sox. He's a great, great baseball player. And then the draft came out, and he said, "I'm not going to get drafted, so I'm going to go sign up for who I want to sign up for." So he went and signed up with the United States Marine Corps. And he went out, and at 20 years old, he was in Vietnam in a jungle with Charlie trying to kill him. And he was trying his best to just stay alive. Wound up getting shot twice, shrapnel in the side of the head. It just went through all kinds of things. Watched his 18-year-old friends get blown in half, held their hand while they took their last breath, so on and so forth. That's all part of it. And things have changed. Things have changed, amen. All right, Genesis chapter 16. I sat back tonight, and I've been really, really, really struggling with what to give you tonight. And anybody that's ever preached knows that you don't want to get up and just say, you know, what thus saith the preacher. And, you know, you want to be careful about what you say. But most of all, you want to make sure that God is behind it, and God wants you to do it. And so tonight, Genesis chapter 16, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we're grateful again for this time to be here. And I pray you'd bless this time and use it for your glory. I pray, Father, that you'd speak now and speak through this book and use it, use your words to deal with us tonight. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for being good to me. And thank you for being my father. Thank you for being my great high priest. And thank you. I appreciate you saving me. Appreciate you bringing me up out of the depths of hell. I pray you'd bless tonight and use this time for your glory and for your honor. And may you be pleased with it. Please get Pastor and Janet back safely. We sure do miss them when they're gone, but help them to have a great time with Heidi while they're there. And bless their fellowship with her daughter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Before we get started tonight, anybody got a word of testimony you want to give? Anybody got a word of testimony? Something the Lord's done for you. Don't squench the Spirit. Don't squench the Spirit. Anybody got something the Lord's done for you? You just want to say, I'm thankful for this or that, whatever you've done. Go ahead, brother. Amen. Amen. For those of you that don't know these folks, this is Brian and Jocelyn Moore. They're from Oregon, Brother John Robinson's church. And they are on their way to Pensacola, Florida, to go to Bible school at PBI. So they got married last weekend, was it? Just got married last weekend, so they're spending their honeymoon traveling to Pensacola, to the armpit of the earth. Pensacola. So they're on their way down to start school, I think September the 4th, you said? Amen. So pray for them. Pray for them. Got a good 3 years ahead of you. All right. Anybody else? In case you haven't figured it out, I'm stalling. Anybody else got something? Please, somebody say something. All right. Turn to John 17. John 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Lucas, my child, would you get that whiteboard out of there, please? Remember the whiteboard? Surely you are. I mean, Callie's going to go help you. She's got muscles. There's some, what do you call those things that you write with? Markers on the bookshelf. John 17, 1 Corinthians 15. John 17. A lot of people say that the Lord's Prayer is, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. They get in some kind of a mantra, this chant. And John chapter 17 is the actual Lord's Prayer. And Jesus is talking here, and this is just something I had a thought on this, just wanted to give you. John 17, verse number 6, when Jesus is talking about the 12 men that God gave him, he says in John 17, 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Boy, that is a rarity in this age. It's a rarity. Now, I'm not telling you that we're the only people across the land like this that believe this book is the word of God and so on and so forth. But there's not a lot. There's not a lot of what we would call a Bible believer left. They're there. Sometimes you have to beat the bushes to find them, but they're there, okay? But Jesus said that these 12 that he's talking about, they have kept thy word. Verse 7 says, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Verse 8, he says something that's kind of special here. He says, for I have given unto them the words. Not the Word of God, but the words with an S on the end of it. The Word of God is made up of words, okay? And Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 30, he said, every word of God is pure. If you don't have a pure Bible in your hands, then you don't have a pure Savior to save you. If you don't have a pure Bible in your hands, you don't have a pure God. We don't worship the God named Allah. I was reading a little bit tonight, And you guys know this. The word Islam literally means submission. Islam means submission. Okay? And they say that they're in complete, absolute submission to God. Now, that's baloney. They're not in submission to the God that you and I serve. They're not in submission, and just scratch out that I said the God that you and I serve. They're not in submission to the God of this book. This book is above me. This book is above you and all your ancestors. And this book is God's book. If you want to serve God, then you're going to go by this book, not the Holy Quran, okay? You're going to go by this book. So they're not in complete, absolute submission to God. They're in complete, absolute submission to a fornicating towelhead that went to bed with a 9-year-old. Amen, Brother Jeffers. I know some of you are like, I can't believe he just said that. Amen. That's the truth. Looking for a 9-year-old wife. My, what a God you serve, you know. The Islam, the religion of peace, you know. But when you turn your head, we're going to cut it off. Amen. That was all free. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I haven't preached this in a while. But it doesn't matter because you all ain't never heard me preach it, so hey. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You just brought me a black marker? I mean, really? There's colors back there to make it pretty. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me move this. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to have some audience participation tonight. You're probably not going to like that. And there is going to be some props. I totally didn't plan on this. How many of you have ever watched a movie? I know you're not supposed to watch movies, you know. How many of you have ever seen The Lion King? If you have kids, you have seen The Lion King, period, okay? What's the opening song that they open up with, you know, whenever he's holding Simba up? Oh, what is it? Huh? It's the circle of life, she says. It's the circle of life. Circle of life. So, everybody talks about the circle of life. And all things come back around full circle, they say. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Somebody get verse 28 for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 28. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 28. Anybody got it? If you got it, stand up and read it real loud. That God may be all in all. One of these days, Jesus Christ is going to turn everything back over to the Father and say, here it is. It's all yours. It began with God, and it's going to end with God. Amen. Jesus Christ is the Alpha, and He's the Omega. He starts out here. It's all the way to the end. He's the Alpha. Let's see. I think Omega is like that, something like that. Alpha is like that. Okay. Hey, I know all my Greek now, okay? Yeah, right. He's the Alpha and He's the Omega. He's the beginning and He's the ending, right? Jesus Christ. Starts with Him, ends with Him. Got another thing that I have talked about before, the pyramid. Jesus Christ is the sure foundation. He's it, ain't He? And then you go on, you read through Colossians. It says, the body, the church, which is His body. He's the body of it too. Not only that, but He's the chief cornerstone up here. Jesus Christ is this, He's this, and He's this. He's all of it. So, I mean, don't walk around thinking that the reason you're here tonight is because you're really something. Amen. We ain't nothing. The only reason we're breathing is because God let us breathe today. We got up and God said, I tell you what, I'm going to give you some air. So he gave me air, okay? It'd be very easier for the Lord to say, you know what? That's it. Lights out and you're gone. So, the circle of life. Circle of life. This is the real circle of life. All right, you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 28. Let's talk about some beginnings here tonight, some different things that you have. Now, let's see, where is she? Sister, I'm sorry, I can't remember your name. Sitting back behind Brother Rick. What's your name? Okay. I was talking to her, and you've been saved now for 40 years? Amen. Praise the Lord. She grabbed me this night when we were coming in and said that she's a first-generation Christian. And I say, praise the Lord, man. That's great. It's good. It's good to see some first-generation Christians. Okay, so started out with her, and things have kind of, I mean, I'm assuming she's probably handed down some different things to her children and grandchildren. So, whenever you got saved, what's something that God gave you? Somebody tell me what God gave you when you got saved. Life. God gave you life. Amen. And this life is in His Son. What else did God give you? Grace. Amen. What else has God given you? Peace. What else has He given you? Hope. What does He give you on a daily basis? Protection. What else? Okay, I'm running out of room here. What's that? Sustenance. Amen. And we all like food. Speaking of, I missed the peach pie today. Man, I tell you. I preached last week and she said, because you're the preacher, you get a peach pie. I mean, homemade peach. I mean, good. God, that thing was good. But she tagged on the end of it last week. She said, now you're preaching next week, but you just get this one for this week. That's all. What else has God given you? What about gifts? What kind of gifts has God given you? What kind of talents has God given you? Has God given you talents? Has He given you talents? He's given you talents to do things. He's given you talents to do things that I can't do. Amen. He's given you gifts. What else has God given you? What's that? Truth. Amen. I tell you the truth. Man, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Anything else? Understanding. What about health? Giving you health. God's giving you understanding. He's giving you health. God has given you some inspiration from that book too, hasn't He? When you read across that thing and the Lord kind of illuminates your mind and you say, oh, that's some inspiration. Is that it? Huh? Yeah, I know. God's given us a bunch. Guidance. While we're on the subject of guidance, how does God guide you? Through the Holy Spirit. He will guide you into all truth. And He'll guide you into that book. He'll guide you into all truth. Okay? All truth. If it's true, He'll bear witness to it. What else? What else has God given you? One more thing. Families. Amen. Okay, the circle of life. God gives you all that stuff. He gives you all those things. Okay? Okay? He's given you everything that you have. And in light of that, what do you do with all that stuff? What are you supposed to do with all that? Amen. You and I, when God gives us those things, we are to surrender that stuff back to Him. Okay? God gives you the talents He gives you. He gives you the gifts that He gives you. And you take all that stuff that he's given you and you surrender that to use for him. Okay? All those things that God has given you, you give it all back to him. And you use it for him. You take your abilities, you take your money, you take your time. Take everything that God has given you and you give it all back to him. Okay? Because it's his in the first place. I mean, it ain't mine and it ain't yours. You give it back to him. Okay? After you do that, what do you get from doing that? If you surrender your stuff to him and live for him, what does he give you at the end of this way? God gives you crowns for that. So imagine a God that doesn't look at you and say, I'll force you to submit to me. Imagine a God that says, I'm going to give you some things. You don't deserve them, but I'm going to give them to you. I'm going to give them to you simply because I want to give them to you and because I love to give them to you. I'm going to give them to you not because I feel like I have to give them to you, but I just want to give them to you. So God gives you all these things. And then he says, if you'll use them for me, I'm going to give you a crown for it at the end of the way. Now, you guys know the five crowns and all that kind of stuff. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Actually, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Somebody get 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 4. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 4. You're going to have to go... through the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12 says this, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Let's see. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's see. I think I wrote down the wrong. No, here it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And then Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse number 10 says, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now he's talking to saved people. We're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I don't particularly care for that, and I'm not looking forward to that. I know this one fellow from down south. He said one time, and I heard him say this. He said, I'm just looking forward to getting out of here and going to the judgment seat of Christ and getting through it and just going on home to be with the Lord. And I'm not scared of the judgment seat of Christ at all. And I thought to myself, and at the time, you know, I had been saved about a year, and I thought, something don't sound right about that. And as I began to learn about the judgment seat of Christ, I thought, I'm not looking forward to that at all. I'm scared to death of it. I'm scared to death. I'm afraid the Lord's going to take me by my pinky toe and say, now this little piggy is getting ready to fall, and he's going to dangle me over fire or something. I'm scared to death of it. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm saved, no doubt. But I'm scared to death of that. Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. The terror, it's not going to be fun, okay? It ain't just going to be one of those, oh, praise the Lord, we're just going to get to just run up there and say, thank you, Lord, and he's going to throw crowns at us and say, man, you did such a good job. Now let's just go right on into heaven. It ain't going to be like that. It's going to be all these years that I've lived on this earth and I've gotten away with a bunch of things that I should have got spanked for. And the Lord's going to say, now let's talk about those. And it's going to be one of those talks where he takes you into the room and says, okay, and then he begins to pull his belt off. And I'm going to be like, oh, no. It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be fun. But when you get there, whatever you have done for him, you know what's going to happen? He's going to reward you for that. Imagine a God that says, I'm going to give you all these things for free. I'm going to let you use them for me. If you use them for me for free, then I'm going to give you something in return for it. Keep in mind, we don't deserve any of it because half of us on this earth never lived for Christ the way we should anyway. But he's still going to give us something. He's still going to give us something. Now, you got five different crowns. You got five different crowns. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. Does somebody have 1 Peter 5, 4? Anybody? You got it? Read it out loud, sister. Crown of glory. Crown of glory. Amen. James chapter 1, verse 12. James chapter 1, verse 12. Somebody get James 1, 12. Somebody get 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. James 1, 12. Anybody got it? Stand up and read it real loud. Amen. All right, somebody got the Timothy reference? Anybody got it? 2 Timothy? Anybody got it? 2 Timothy? Chapter 4, verse 8. Somebody get it real quick. Amen. Crown of righteousness. All right, somebody get 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. 1 Thessalonians 2, 19. Somebody got it? All right, crown of rejoicing. All right, last one. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. Anybody got that one? Anybody? Somebody got it? 1 Corinthians 9, 25. Somebody got it? Corruptible crown. Okay, now the standard teaching is there's five different crowns. Pastor believes that there may be a sixth crown there too. And I haven't had the opportunity. I just found that out maybe like a month ago. So I haven't had the opportunity to really get into that one yet. But we know that there's at least five crowns. Amen? So God gives you the opportunity to do something for Him. The same God that made you, the same God that created this world, the same God that has given you brothers and sisters to come fellowship with at church and come to a place where you're not forced to submit. Amen? So God gives you all this stuff, and in light of that, He gives that to you, and then you surrender it to Him and use it for Him. Use your talents for Him. Okay? And after you use your talents for Him, all the different stuff that He's given you, you go to the judgment seat of Christ, and He gives you crowns for that. Man, that's something, isn't it? He gives you crowns for that. You wind up going up to the judgment seat of Christ, and He gives you stuff. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Somebody tell me why you were put on this earth. Those of you that read your Bible very much, you know where I'm going with this, I'm sure. What's that? Please God. Revelation chapter 4, verse 10, verse 11. Somebody read that for me right quick. Dear God, what a scene, man. Wow. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being able to walk up to the throne of God Himself, God Almighty, and take a crown that He's given you for no apparent reason, other than the fact that he loved you enough to give it to you and allowed you to do things for him and taking that thing and not just taking it up and humbly going, oh, it's yours, Father. You know, listen, this ain't no holy scene, you know, where you have to walk up, you know, and kiss his ring and take the wafer in your mouth. This is something where, I mean, you're chunking them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. Glory, man, I'm just giving it to him. Giving it to him, man. For thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I'm just wanting to give you some of it back. Here you go. And chunking it to him. Man, what a day. What a scene in heaven. What a time. That's the God we serve, people. You and I don't serve some farce, fake, playland God that, you know, wants us to submit to him forcefully, okay? We serve a God that wants us to love him and wants us to care for him. If you look at the word submit, it shows up 12 times in a King James Bible. And every time it shows up, it either says submit yourselves, submit thyselves, or submit themselves. It has to do with you willingly giving yourself over to God. James says, submit yourselves to God. 12 times submit shows up. And then one time the word submitting shows up. And you know what it says? Submitting themselves. Every time that word shows up in a King James Bible, it's you willingly giving yourself over to somebody else. You willingly choosing to give it over. When it says, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands, that's submitting yourself, making a choice to willingly say, I'm going to give myself to you, and I'm going to go with what you want to go with. Amen. And then if you keep reading that passage, it says, when it's talking about husbands and wives, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So there's submission going on both sides. It ain't just the wife just bowing down and saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. It's also the husband with a little bit of humility in there too and submitting some too. See? A lot of preachers don't want to preach that. They want to say, well, bless God, that woman's supposed to do what I tell her to. Bull! Baloney. My mom used to say, bull malarkey. Anybody know what malarkey is? Never heard of it. I don't know what it is. It's bull. When you submit yourself, you willingly make the choice. The first time the word submit shows up is in Genesis chapter 12. And it's when Sarah deals roughly with Hagar and sends her out because she finds out, my husband likes you. My husband had a kid with you. This is after Sarah said, take Hagar. Go ahead. Abraham, take Hagar so you can have a kid. And then later on, when Hagar has the kid, Sarah's like, I don't like you no more. Get out, you know. She's hateful. She's mean. The Bible says she dealt rough with her. And so Hagar goes out, and she's sitting there. And God comes up to her and says, what are you doing? And Hagar tells her, tells him. And God says, submit yourself to her. The first time it shows up, it has to do with submitting yourself to someone that's harsh and that is mean and that has been rough with you. So how much easier would it be to submit yourself to somebody like that? That's not harsh and mean and rough. That's easy. At least it should be. Most of the time we make it hard because we've got to fight the flesh and we've got to put the flesh down and we don't want to submit ourselves. Amen. That's rough. All right. Any questions, comments, or smart aleck remarks from the peanut gallery tonight? I gave you what I had. That's it. And you take whatever God gives you and you use it for Him. Use it for Him. And for some odd reason, He says, you took what I gave you in the first place and you used it for me, so I'm going to give you even more. I mean, He's already given you something. And then He gives you even more. And then He gives you even more whenever you get to cast the crown back at His feet. He still gives you more. Man, what a God. What a God. The giving God. He is a giving, giving God. We had a book at home. I don't know if we still have it anymore. I don't know if it burned or not. But it was called The Giving Tree. How many of you have heard of The Giving Tree? Anybody else ever hear of that? It's a little book you read to your kids. It's a good book. And the tree gives everything that it has, all, I mean, everything that it has, gives it all, and winds up getting, I believe, getting it back, grows back. And that's the way God is. God gives and gives and gives and gives and gives, and 9 times out of 10, we take and take and take and take. Well, how about giving a little bit more back to Him? Amen. All right. Nothing else? Let's stand for prayer. Brother Ron, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?